Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and for the last fucking time, Internet, Ant-Man does not do anal. And with me, I have...
Coming soon, I'm pleased to announce Surreal Resolution Plus will be happening. We just don't know what we're going to add to it, but we're going to charge you $10 a month for it.
And...
I know what's more weird. Ancient has boost over this tour as Swiper. Every time I think of that trailer, I think of the tour as him as a Cario 2, where he keep on firing the fucking gun. Like, Swiper, no fucking fuck you.
And whose bright idea was it to invite Migos to perform at the Kids Choice Awards?
Well, we gotta be all hip with what's all up in this generation, man. We're a bunch of rich white television executives who know what's up.
Yeah, which is why they had to push the bleep button about 17 times from that whole performance.
Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, shit, no, the song before. What actual song performed, but then it got out.
They performed with Mr. Mustard, I believe.
Oh. Did it get the same people that got DJ Khaled to host awards?
What the hell even is Nickelodeon doing at this point, man? I mean, there's that. We're still waiting on, like, two of those announced anniversary specials for classic shows. The freaking Dora trailer, which, by the way, why does Danny Trejo have a Twitter account? Whatever happened to Machete don't tweet, man? I feel betrayed.
Oh, God.
This is weird. Yeah. So fucking weird.
Indeed. Anyway, episode 122. So what's going on with everyone lately?
I don't know if it's being picked up in the mic, but it's raining outside, which is kind of annoying because I'm right near my window.
Oh.
Yeah, but other than that, I've had a very enjoyable week to decompress. Hopefully talk to a new employer as I get back to them to see where we'll go next. But let it be known, I said all the right things and they were impressed with me. So aside from that, I've just been gorging on the madness of March, as the people say.
Yes, yes, quite.
And I've done pretty well for myself with my for funsies brackets of all the college teams that... Well, really, it's all really a competition of losers, isn't it? You're not picking people to win, you're picking people to lose. Which, we are a very deeply disturbed society, aren't we?
I can attest to that.
Yeah, but yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing for the past couple days, because I've been needing to get my mind clear from, I'll just say, a lot of toxic behavior that I take up from where I was working before over the past couple of weeks. It's always good to refresh the brain a little bit, because hopefully if I stick this new job, knock, 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 it'll be much better. Much, much better.
Yes, quite. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see, Back Survive, that's kind of good, although it is anime that I might have to look at some point. Let's see, do a little writing, and, oh yeah, I had a fucking blowout last Wednesday.
Yeah, I saw that. That's not a blowout. That's a car just being obliterated with, I don't know, a machete knife.
Pretty much. I'm on my way to work. The shit happens, like, which, yes, all day, that day, I got frustrated, stressed out. Not thinking straight, basically me panicking as I kind of always do. I got the spare tire on there now. I am looking to get, saving up to get more. We'll get new tires since I believe they're both past the point, because it's been what, like, 5 years since I bought new ones. Which, yeah, it's time to. That was not a good day. That kind of ruined my day.
No, it was not. It was the opposite of that Ice Cube song, in fact.
I ain't got no AK, so fuck. It ain't no good day.
Anyway, and as for me, literally nothing. Just kind of one of those weeks where nothing of significance is happening. Blah. Damn. Tetris and Smash Bros. Meh. That's all. But, so, I suppose that means we should just about jump into the usual nonsense. So, of course, as always, we start off with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with the songs that we're talking about. Now, first up here, let me tell you a little story. It's a story about a man named Scott Stapp. He once sung for a band called Creed. They were very successful. Then they went away. The other musicians did some other things, I assume. And Mr. Stapp lost his shit. But apparently now it seems he has his shit together. I assume. Or is he still... Were there people looking for him? Because I could have sworn I remember something about people looking out for him.
He's been through a lot of stuff. Relapses, possible homelessness, bankruptcy. It's been kind of rough for him. Although I will say not all of it probably can't be attributed to outside factors, because this dude has been through, I'll put it bluntly, he's been kind of an asshole for a long time.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But I guess
in other words, his fame didn't take him higher.
No, it did not.
Not when you shoot a sex tape with Kid Rock with some floozies and, you know, be drunk on some Spike TV show.
Oh, dear Lord, I hope those women got tested. But it appears that Scott Stapp managed to get his shit together just enough to go into the studio and record an album. Apparently, he's got a solo project coming out in July called The Space Between the Shadows. And so we have the lead-off single here, Purpose for Pain, and why the hell does this sound like Breaking Benjamin with Scott Stapp on it? Literally, it's the exact same kind of, like, mid-tempo, low, thick guitar chugs that are super, you know, bland, like, fucking mayo-ass radio rock, vanilla-ass shit. It's not even, like, fun to riff on, because, like, his voice isn't as mimetic. Like, it's not that classic, "When you take me higher,
then you take me higher."
So what you're saying is, this track harkens back to the days when radio stations would proudly say they play nothing but rock. So what you're saying is, this track is butt rock?
Technically, I suppose. Yes, I guess I would be saying that. But, you know, it's as boilerplate as it gets. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like butt rock. But the mixing on here is way too compressed and claustrophobic. Everything is just boosted, but there's no room to give anything a major upfront focus. Everything just, it's just loud, but it's not clear. Everything just sounds super tight, and there's just too much noise going on in there. I don't know what happened with the production on this. Maybe it'll change once this album comes out, which, yes, it is coming out. God help us, we are getting a new Scott Stapp album. His third solo album, can you believe it or not?
Wait, when the hell did he release the first two?
The first one was in 2005. I know this because my parents were all into that, because for a while we were kind of a pseudo-Christian household, despite some other things that were happening. But, yeah. I'm just going to leave it as that, because if I go too deep, we'll end up going down a rabbit hole. But, yeah. That first solo album, it was the quintessential "I'm going solo" kind of album. And, yeah, another one came out. Nobody really talked about it. And now we have this one on Napalm Records, of all labels.
Yeah.
This label usually orients with black metal, usually, right?
From what I recall, yes.
This just feels weird. Very weird.
Yeah. They don't think it'd be like it is, but it do.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wash that gunk off with something that's at least marginally pleasant to the ears. So, it looks like we got a new one-off track here from good old Tame Impala, which has been, you know, keeping quite busy for, you know, the past few years or so. Well, okay, technically Kevin Parker has. The actual Tame Impala project itself has kind of been, like, in a bit of a stasis since Currents came out, like, 3-4 years ago. So, this isn't exactly a precursor of any new album, at least as far as, like, no attached announcements, but we do have this new track here called Patience, and in a ways, it kind of seems like it's similar to, like, you know, the sort of chill, wavy, rock, indie, rock vibes. Wow, I'm stumbling over my words here, fuck. The same kind of vibes that Currents was writing on, but at the same time, there's certainly some, like, other elements going on. So, the bulk of the melody are driven by this kind of mix of, like, keyboard synths and natural piano keys, which kind of continue throughout the song, and as the artwork of the single implies, there are lots of bongo drums in it as well. There's this nice soothing bass groove, there's this kind of, it kind of sounds like it's somewhere between like acoustic and synthetic drum work in there. Certainly sounds natural when it gets to a lot of like some surprisingly interesting drum fills here and there. Plenty of flanger, of course, throughout the mix, because that's just, you know, how it do, basically. And it sounds nice. It's certainly more pleasant to listen to than Scott's frickin' stab, of all things. Although, and I realize this is gonna sound a bit backhanded, this kind of sounds like a really good, like, soundtrack piece for a cruise ship commercial. I blame the bongos.
Well, okay, I see your point on that last thing. It does have something you hear on a cruise ship, which if it sounds relaxing and easy to vibe to, then yeah, I fuck with this heavy. Like, I want to say it almost sounds like it got this very disco-esque flavor to it, because it does have something, it does have some sort of danceable beat to it. I mean, well, more like a slow dance beat to it, but yeah, it's very chill, wavy, got the vibes going on, and you have somebody who's been in the team, who's recently been into this group a lot recently. It's like, this shit sounds good, and knowing that this coming weekend, they're gonna sign that live, so we might hear some of an album. I mean, or maybe something they might play, either maybe that one, maybe another one we may not know nothing about. I mean, anything could happen.
Yes, that is true. So we'll be sure to keep an ear out. Anyway, for this next song here, we're gonna need all of the children here to move out of the room. So for anybody who's playing this within the vicinity of children, first off, you're a terrible parent. Second of all, please make your kid move to the other room. Tell them you're gonna, I don't know, do your taxes or something if you haven't done those yet or something. Okay, yeah. Keep going. So how about this new track by Lizzo, who apparently has a new album coming out April 19th called Cause I Love You. And for those of you who maybe are blanking on the name, Lizzo is a fairly popular, you know, like, hip-hop R&B performer. Wait, why am I saying R&B? Just plain hip-hop. You might also know her as, you know, the woman who dresses up as Sailor Moon and twerks, which is an image that I didn't know I needed in life. But yeah, so we have a new album announcement from her, and accompanying it, a new single called Tempo, which of course features Miss, I'm put my thing down, flipping and reverse it herself, Missy Elliott. It's been a while since we've heard her on this podcast, although I remember being slightly disappointed by the last song we heard from her. Although this one is a lot better. Because this one is a lot more within the Elliott wheelhouse, namely that it is horny as fuck. There's really no point in, like, breaking down the lyrics, because it's all about, like, how they are, all caps, T-H-I-C-C. That is the bulk of the lyrics here. And it's certainly a hell of a lot sexier than any other, you know, rap jams about, you know, big booty women or anything. Possibly because they're not being submissive to some lame, horny-ass dudes throwing away a whole bunch of money on booze in the back of the club. You know what I mean?
Yep. The more I heard this beat, I'm thinking, Yep, this is definitely something fit for Missy Elliott. Like, I picture a video with similar to this. Like, this is definitely something up for her. And it looks like a pre-verse too, which is one of the first song with, like, the chorus, like, song slow day for skinny hoes, can't move all this here to one of those. I'm a thick bitch, I need tempo. Like, and this shit just got tempo. It got this weird ass type of beat that actually works, because the last song we talked about with Missy Elliott, which didn't work because it sounded like minimal but more lazy. This is well, minimal, but it's definitely is something that works in that way. Yeah.
So, thumbs up from everyone. Now, sorry, Mark, but you're going to have to go away from these next four songs, because we know you have nothing to say on them. Unless you suddenly have a taste for, like, metal and rock and grindcore. But I assume not. My apologies, we will call you back when it's time.
Okay.
Alright, so, up next here on the docket, we got these guys here. We've talked about them before. The Damned Things. They're big, you know, second album coming in finally at the end of the friggin' decade, April 26th, High Crimes. Second single here, it's called Something Good. And this one, yeah, I'm not sure I'm feeling it as much as the first one. Like, that first one was certainly some rowdy, raucous, like, fucking, you know, night out drinking at the club hard rock banger. But this one is just a little too cheesy. Like, okay, I know with some of the influences here, especially the Every Time I Die camp, there tends to be more of that Southern fried twang to a lot of their songwriting sometimes. But this one goes just a little bit too far. Like, the chorus and the verses and stuff are built off this corny-ass cheerleader chant that goes something like, Y-E-L-L, all of my friends are going to hell. And while I appreciate the ironic comedy behind that sentiment, it's just, like, it gets pounded into your head to the point where it stops meaning anything. You know, especially with the stomp clapping, the twangy guitars, the cowbell. It's like, it's trying to be more Southern fried party rock, but it kind of just feels like, I don't know, like they wrote a minute-long loop and then just extended it for however long they needed to. I just preferred the last song better is all.
I thought it was all right. I felt it was more punk than anything. But, yeah, I kind of like that whole cheerleader shtick. It's finally a pep rally song I can get behind, and it won't, you know, make me want to kill everybody around me, like most pep rally songs do.
Yes, more spelling of the word yell and less spelling of the word bananas.
That too, yeah.
So, yeah, now it's time to move on to the next month, May 3rd, specifically, where we are going to be getting the latest studio album from, you know, melodic death metalers / professional Viking cosplayers, Amon Amarth. Their newest project, following up their last album from 2016, which I believe was titled, I always get these fucking names wrong, I want to say it was Yom's Viking, or Jormungand or something, or it was some Viking crap as always. But this new one is called Berserker, and we have the lead-off single, Raven's Flight. And all I can say is, yep, that is absolutely an Amon Amarth song. The aggressive, stomping, you know, grooving drum beat, heavily emphasizing all the snares on the downbeat, the guitars chugging mid-tempo with, like, that lead melody over top that sounds like the traditional, like, you know, sort of Nordic Viking sort of thing, the fucking harsh, bellowing vocals, you know, doing as they always do. A lot of the song is pretty much driven by, like, those guitar melodies and even those harmonies, like, during the bridges and solos and everything. Touches of flanger in here, you know, the usual Amon Amarth fixings. It's okay. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's right in the middle, pretty much.
Yep, I thought it was alright. Some dang fine melodic death metal that makes me want to go out and pillage some enemies. And the video is excellent. It goes back and forth between an old Viking fight and the band performing in a small club with very little hints that there may be some reincarnation at play and that the battle will continue again. Who knows, maybe in the next video.
Gotta love those multi-part continuity storylines. Seriously, even Amon Amarth music videos have to succumb to peak TV syndrome. But anyway, moving on from that to this past week's entry of the Adult Swim Singles program. And before getting into that, interesting update that came out this morning. So it turns out that starting this week, Adult Swim has entered into a partnership with Spotify, where the actual singles will now actually come out on that platform the day after they're released to the main Adult Swim site. So finally, we can listen to a lot of these songs in a context where we can actually control the volume sliders properly.
And that dude, that and that damn plan, which is still fuck yeah, it's still.
We still have our issues with the players. There's strange functionality designs that we have questions about. But anyway, speaking of volume sliders, you're probably going to want to keep this one turned at max because, I mean, come on, it's a new jam from Pig Destroyer. So what good is it if it doesn't have, like, the fucking volume turned up on high? Yeah, anyway, so new track from them, it's called Cameraman. And this sounds more like that quintessential Pig Destroyer sound. Probably I'd say more so it leans to, it kind of sounds like a transition between, like, Book Burner and their most recent Head Cage. The guitarists chug ahead in this brutally fucking brittle-ass manner with the vocals, of course, harshly bellowing and grating on the senses as they shout away. The drums pounding away with their miscellaneous rapid-ass pounding tom fills. The sort of offbeat accentuations of the snare. The very stomping vibe of it all. Drums and instrumentation swapping back and forth between normal and halftimes, especially with those halftime fucking ride beats and everything. Plenty of blast beats, double bass, all of that shit as well, just grindy and grindy. Yeah, with those discordant chord progressions. The fucking, like, it even just swells into just pure madness in the drums before, like, it goes into the last verse and all, and it's Pig Destroyer. It's their finest grind. It's like I was trying to make a coffee joke here, but I lost track. It's a good song.
Yes. This is heavy and gnarly in all the right ways, and it makes me very happy and satisfied. Unlike...
Well, I mean, you say that as if we're going to segue into something that's mediocre, but how could that be? We're going into... Yeah, so we're continuing to the next song here, which is still on the topic of Relapse Records and Grind. Now, you may remember from a couple years ago when I said that my favorite album of 2017 was Full of Hell's Trumpeting Ecstasy. And in the time since then, yes, they've switched labels from Profound Lord Relapse, and they announced their first album on that label coming out May 17th called Weeping Choir. And of course, we have the lead-off single from the album Burning Myrrh, which definitely feels like it comes more off possibly their second album. I say that partly in terms of the production. Like, it's definitely a little bit more of that brittle, coarser kind of production style. It's not as immediately punchy. Like, I don't think Kurt Ballou is producing this album. Or maybe he is. I have to double check on that. But, yeah, it's definitely more of, like, a brittler sort of sound. Pretty much what you can expect from, you know, Full of Hell as usual. Grinding tremolo guitars, the rapid blast beats, the vocals screeching and growl on both extremes of the spectrum, low to high. There's fucking, like, you know, pounding ass tom fills and fucking rapid ass D beats, especially the fucking just doom-ish nature of the closing where the drums just pound away as the vocals, you know, growl endlessly and the guitars just completely drop out, so you're kind of left in this hollow mind space. It's another solid slab of the grind.
I gave it a shot, but this just isn't my cup of coffee. I need more flavor in my coffee because this got me thinking, oh, hey, more lo-fi black metal vibes. Hooray. Like, I need more of that.
How dare you compare this to black metal, sir? I should reach across the aisle and slap you.
I'm just saying, this does not sound like what I like. I know what I like. This ain't it. So, sorry, people. Go ahead and crucify me.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. We're not going to do that. We're just gonna tie you into a chair and force you to watch a lot of Sword Art Online alicization.
Do I have to piss in your coffee and shove it in your face? Because that's what you're going to do to me.
Well, I mean, to be fair, in some cultures, piss is a valuable ingredient. Anyway, speaking of which, it's a good thing that Mark's here, even though this next song has no relation to piss. So now he can come back in, and we can all come back in, because looks like we got some continuing business with a Mr. Robert Byron Hall, the third, I believe, a.k.a. Logic, a.k.a. the Young Sinatra, a.k.a. the Bobby Tarantino. Apparently he's got another project coming out, because Bobby Tarantino 2 and Young Sinatra 4 wasn't enough from last year. No. Instead, he just announced a new album that he's dropping this year. We don't have a release date for it yet, but we do know, at least the title track and the lead-off single, it's called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. And you can tell it's dangerous because the music video for this song has him covered in blood. You know, he's got to live up to the Tarantino part of his name after all.
Yeah.
So.
And given how it's fitting since that trailer came out.
Oh yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that happened. Yeah, we got that to look forward to this year in cinema. But anyway, so the first thing that kind of stands out about the song is that it's kind of got this lush, classic R&B vibe to its instrumental, with some newer school production sensibilities, and his overall rapping style and flow overall kind of feels more like incredible true story kind of Logic more than anything else. You know, there's kind of like this, like, it's just that kind of motif with that flow and everything. And, yeah, the lyrics are, you know, he's flowing at his usual, you know, rapid pace. Jesus Christ, there's a lot of stuff here. I didn't even jot down my favorite lines. I'm just looking at the lyrics, but there's a lot here. So he's kind of just, you know, like, rapping about his battles with depression, you know, struggling with fame and everything, his relationship with social media. A lot of the usual Logic trappings, but it seems like he's going a lot more deep than kind of the broad platitudes of some of the singles from his, like, past albums and everything, which certainly makes for a more interesting listen, at the very least. I still gotta process this one. There's a lot.
Yeah, there's still a lot to process with this track, with, you know, Toy's going through, like, you know, his career, like, how his career, like, how people say, compared to these other rappers, like, you should kill yourself, like, that type of shit, considering, like, well, in the video, he's pretty much bleeding from the neck, from the neck, and then having a gasoline ball over with even a gun with, it's not, like, gory, buckets of blood gory, but it's more like, it's just, you know, just blood. But yeah, but for this track, he got very interesting beat for that. Very interesting, which I was feeling that beat. That beat was fire. Logic does what he does, and I can say I can comfortably say that. Yeah, the shit bangs. I like it.
I'm guessing no opinions from Alex.
I thought it was pretty good. But, yeah, the video gave some definite Tarantino vibes, mostly Kill Bill, what with the snow and the blood and the wound in the neck that he should probably get cleaned up, because that could get infected really fast. Great bars, great lines, great hook, great beat, great stuff. But I'm just waiting for the inevitable fight between Logic and Fantano, because you know what's going to happen. It's going to happen someday.
Yes, quite.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, and I also want to add this. There's the name where it says the sixth album from, like, I thought it was like five or some shit, because I know, like, there's Under Pressure, the incredible True Story, Everybody, then Sasha 4. Ain't that an album? Sasha 4 an album? Because I'm, ain't it be on his fifth? Because I know by Tarantino, that's a 1 and 2, they're mixtape, so I'm confused. It was just because
apparently, I'm just quoting Wikipedia on here. There's another album in here labeled TBA, so we might be getting two albums in 2019 or later on.
Okay, I guess He's doing that shit again, okay?
Yeah, because there's a song that came out from him a while ago called Keanu Reeves, and according to Wikipedia, at least, this is listed on an album that's TBA.
That's right.
Well, all right then. He's a busy man, I suppose.
Okay, he's got a lot of shit to do.
All right, so with that does it for the song discussion. With all that out of the way, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got some news topics to discuss here, so stay tuned. And we're back. So for our first news topic here, let's turn to Comedy Central, the television network famous for three things: South Park, stand-up specials, and comedy shows that get canceled after two seasons because they're not South Park. Look, let's be honest, we all know that last one is true. So anyway, they've announced the premiere date for their latest big stand-up project, the newest in the long line of shows, mixing stand-up comedy routines with short-form comedy sketches. This new one being hosted by, of all people, the LA-based rapper Open Mike Eagle, who we have discussed a handful of times here on the podcast. So he's co-hosting the show with comedian Baron Vaughn. It's premiering April 19th, and it's titled The New Negroes. The show is an adaptation of an Upright Citizens Brigade showcase by the same name hosted by the two, and as previously stated, it will of course function in the format we all can expect from these kinds of Comedy Central shows: stand-up, sketch comedy, and apparently a handful of original music videos that I'm guessing are made specifically for the program. So I guess format-wise, we could probably describe this as Chappelle's Show 2.0, or I guess maybe something like that Hannibal Buress show that I think only got one season. Did it even get one season? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It did get one season because I didn't see it again. Damn. It'd be like that sometimes. Since it's music, there's artists of here in musical bits. You got artists that's Method Man, MF Doom, Danny Brown, Lizzo.
Oh, hey, that came around.
Yeah, it comes to the form is of course Hannibal Buress. Well, yeah, Little Ro Howie, you know, from Get Out, you know, ride the TSA agent, which yeah.
TSA agent I actually respect.
Yeah, I need to see Us soon. Yeah. Ex SNL cast member Shahir Zanata, and a lot more. It's set on 8 episodes first season, and well, I will say I have hope for it, but since you mentioned Comedy Central, they often cancel a lot of shit. This, well, yeah, I just hope it doesn't get
that.
And then I remember the Hannibal Buress show, which that lasted a season. They have Flying Lotus as a DJ. What? I remember that part now. Like, damn, what did that? Damn.
Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes. But who knows? Maybe this one will have a long, bright future ahead of it. Maybe it'll be like that Gabriel Iglesias stand-up showcase thing, which... Wait, I'm pretty sure that only lasted 3 seasons. Or is it still on? I have no friggin' idea.
I don't know. On that note, Comedy Central is, I know Broad City is, well, they lasted around for 5 seasons, which I don't suppose they lasted that long. And that's it. That's the only show you watch on Comedy Central, to be honest, at this point.
Pretty much, because I'm pretty sure they canceled Nathan for You last year, or in the year before, actually. But it is what it is. Anyway, time to move on to the next story here. Bots, that thing that makes the internet such a fucking pain in the goddamn ass. Ain't that right, Alex?
God. Okay, so last time we talked about how the grand opening of San Francisco's Chase Center in September will be SNM 2, a concert of Metallica with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, commemorating 20 years of, well, S&M. Tickets went on sale, and just about immediately, all the tickets were snatched up because of bots and because of scalpers. I have proof of this. Some of my friends out there were kind of fuming because they were waiting in a queue to get tickets, and it just went away after about 2 minutes. Damn. Bots fucking suck. So yeah, this made all the rounds. It made Loudwire, many a very, very, very grumpy fan vented their frustrations over all of this. And it's pretty much the same deal as always. All the tickets got scalped up, and they're going to be resold for several 100% of their actual market price. For instance, Upper Deck seats, I believe those were priced at about $50. Resale price, $650.
Oh, fuck you.
The highest prices, which would be front row, about $200. You can imagine how much those are going to be resold for because of these fucking scalpers. Unfortunately for us, this is very much an ongoing situation. Neither Metallica nor Ticketmaster have commented on this. But there was a little bit of a an appeasing of the mind, courtesy of the Metallica forums. A member of the Met on Tour staff had a little bit of things to say. Quote, I wanted to take a minute out of this Saturday to let you all know that we hear you loud and clear. We had a rough fan club presale where the fan club demand greatly outweighed the number of tickets we had available and was marred by some technical problems. Then there were the public presales and general on sale where, again, demand just trounced the number of available tickets. That being said, to reiterate what I said, we're all listening to you. The band is blown away by the response to the show and your voices have not gone unheard in terms of the frustration that we all encountered this week. We are already looking at ways to improve this for future pre-sales. Between all of us here, keep watching the site over the next week or so. The boys are working on a, quote, obvious solution to the issue, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, so stay tuned, end quote. What so this means? Obvious
solution. I'm going to go ahead on a limb and say either one of two things. Either one, they're going to invalidate the ticket sales to deal with the scalpers and then, you know, try this whole thing again with probably stronger security measures in place to ensure that the sales are legit. Or two, they're probably going to do like a like second day performance kind of thing. Maybe have a bunch of S&M shows lined up, maybe an extra two. I mean, the demand would certainly be there for it.
That's possible. I'd say the easiest solution would just be to do a live stream of this concert. That way everybody has a chance to actually watch it. But I wouldn't be mad if they did a second try for ticket sales, or if they added a second date, or if they, you know, did anything like that to sort of make everybody happy, because fuck scalpers.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, this is essentially the highest profile event that has been announced for the Chase Center, because there were other events announced for the arena within a couple months of its opening, including WWE tapings, the Matthews Band concert, a Golden State Warriors preseason game, and for some reason, 5 Seconds of Summer and then the Chainsmokers.
Ew.
I mean, why couldn't y'all have gone for that instead of scalping Metallica tickets? Come on, people.
The unfortunate problem of value. They have to swipe the good shit, apparently.
I hate this universe.
Well, y'all have taste. It's like...
Clearly. Yeah, it is what it is. But anyway, let's move away from, California to Chicago, specifically Grant Park, which, of course, as always, will play host to the ever-so-confusingly titled Lollapalooza-zation Festival. I think that's how it's pronounced. I still haven't figured that out yet. So this is taking place August 1st through the 4th, this summer. So we have, finally, the big old lineup announcement thing here. Not split up into dates. It's literally just a giant fucking wall of names. So starting right at the top, the biggest names here, the 8 biggest in terms of text, your big headliners are Ariana Grande, okay. Childish Gambino.
Whoop. Yeah!
21 Pilots.
Yeah.
Okay. The Strokes. All right. Tame Impala.
Yay!
Hey, look at that. Flume. Keeping real busy year, I see.
Yep, got a mixtape out. Got an 8 from Fantano. Why he's wearing the red flannel with a jack. Damn, it's like, yeah, that. He got an 8. From Fantano, while the red flannel was on, but he's wearing a metal jacket or some shit. You have to watch the review to wonder. Like I know he knows, but yeah, he knows that we know.
He's being deliberately confusing with that. Remember the color coding, sir. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of red flannel, the Chainsmokers. Nice transition. And last of the big headliners is J Balvin. Ooh, forget which one that is.
Guy.
I think I was getting mixed up with Bad Bunny or something. But now to move on to the giant wall of names all the way down here of various sizes. So, of course, in the order from top to bottom, we also have playing this festival, Kacey Musgraves, Lil Wayne, Janelle Monáe, right. Meek Mill,
right.
Hozier, Rufus Du Sol, Gary Clark Jr., Tenacious D, 21 Savage,
Fuck Ice,
clearly, Death Cab for Cutie, the Revivalists, Her,
yeah.
Maggie right. Rogers, Perry Farrell's Kind Heaven Orchestra, which is a combination of words that I only understand two of. Let's see what else here. Alesso, Good Vibrations versus Slugs Music, whatever that means. RL Grime, Six Slack, Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. I just realized, doesn't Miles Kennedy sing for the band that all the other guys from Creed were in?
Yeah, Alter Bridge.
That's the one. Lil Baby, wah, wah, wah. Oh, hey, Gunna. Let's see what else here. King Princess, Medion, Son Holo.
Here's a thing.
Fits in the Tantrums, Sheck Wes, Semino, Fisher, Rosalia, Mitski.
Hey.
Bring Me the Horizon.
Ew.
Jid.
Hi.
Chevelle. FKJ, AJR, CBS, TNT, TBS. Wait, those last two aren't on there.
Oh, AJR is not good.
I heard.
Let's see what else here. Lil Skies, Boombox Cartel, Manic Focus, Rich the Kid, Saba, Bishop Briggs, Haley Kiyoko, Denzel Curry.
All the way
up. Album coming. Maybe.
At the bottom? Really?
Okay. Well, Denzel Curry somewhere in the middle. Okay. Let's see. Japanese Breakfast. Hey, it's Joji.
Hi.
We also got Sharon Von Etten, Yaiji, Idols, Sigrid, Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers.
What the?
Shaquille O'Neal? What?
That's Diesel. Yes.
As Diesel.
Is he gonna rap again?
Let me get this straight. So not only is he on the board for Papa John's Pizza, Not only is he an official sheriff with the Broward Police Department, which, can we just say, imagine being, like, pissed drunk as hell, getting pulled over for drunk driving, and it's fucking Shaq. I tell you, those bail prices are going to be a bitch, but the story is going to be so worth it. But apparently now he's getting back on his rap game, I guess? Dear God.
Yeah. I mean, he has, he has three official rap albums under his name, along with having a very interesting approach to dealing with the Sauce of the Doom on Hot Ones, as well as being a part of the best show on TV, Inside the NBA.
I'll take your word on that one. Remember, I don't watch sports shit.
He is fantastic on that show, but yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, moving on from there, there's Tierra Whack. Oh, hey, Calpurnia. Pretty sure that's the band with that Finn Wolfhard plays in. Anyway, Alec Benjamin, Still Woozy, Cautious Clay, Ghost Mane, hashtag best main. Jade Bird, Jonas Blue, Closey, Magic City Hippies, Men I Trust, YBN Corday, Ducky, parentheses live, G Flip, B Miller, this is the point where I don't understand what the fuck the other parts of these names are.
I don't know all you motherfuckers.
Who are you people?
Called Age, Sex, Location. The hell's that?
That sounds like someone you should probably call the police on.
And then
I want to be safe.
Just loud. Like, okay, y'all loud.
I just want to make a mention really quick on Shaquille O'Neal's first album as Diesel. There were two features on there for Fife Dog.
Yes, I know. I saw that Rap Critic video.
On his second album, features from Method Man, Redman, and RZA.
Okay.
Third album features of Notorious B.I.G. and Jay-Z. I'm just saying, he got around.
Okay, then. This guy had... How does this guy rope in these connections? I swear to God. Don't forget about that time he collaborated with the Foo Schnickens.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for all you Lollapalooza heads, if this is your thing, then go right on ahead. So you can jump straight from Joji to Shaq to whatever the hell / Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators do. I assume it's play basic rock music. But anyway, time to move on to our last topic here. Another festival announcement, although this one is more of a confirmation of some shit we've already known with expanded details. So it looks like the official lineup for Woodstock 50 has finally made itself known. Remember, taking place August 16th through the 18th in Watkins Glen, New York. So a lot of what we saw with the leak information pretty much lines up quite a bit with what we actually got on the final announcement. So I am going to take care of the first day here. So day one, Friday, August 16th, your lineup for this day is The Killers, Miley Cyrus, Santana, possibly not featuring Rob Thomas, The Lumineers, oh, fuck, the Raconteurs.
Steady, yes, she goes. Yeah.
Fuck you, Jack White.
Oh.
Robert Plant and the Sensational Space Shifters. Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. John Fogerty. Interesting. RTJ. Hey. The Head and the Heart, Maggie Rogers, Michael Franti and Spearhead, Bishop Briggs, Anderson East, not to be confused with Anderson Weist, Akon, who is still around, I guess, Princess Nokia, John Sebastian, Melanie, Grandson, no relation, Fever 333, nice. Dorothy, Flora Cash, Larkin Poe, Brian Cadd. Oh, would you look at that, Ninette Taieb.
Nobody is going to know who she is, but damn it, they will after Woodstock.
And more.
Oh.
So, there'll be other lineups here. So, who's going to take over for Day 2 Saturday?
And I'll go ahead and handle Day 2. This seems to be our thing, isn't it? But, yeah, Day 2. At the top, we have Dead and Company. I'm assuming this has something to do with the Grateful Dead?
Possibly.
Yes, made up of former Grateful Dead band members. So it's kind of Grateful Dead-ish. You know, minus Jerry Garcia. But anyway, also on that day we have... Oh, look at this. Fellow Backstreet Boy, Chance the Rapper.
Hey!
Oh, good. The Black Keys.
Meh. Oh, yeah, them.
Yeah, so we have Sturgill Simpson.
Nice.
Okay.
Oh,
you know, some things just should never come into contact with one another. I mean, the first day we have Robert Plant. The second day we have a two-bit imitation, a.k.a. Greta Van Fleet.
At least they're not performing together, thank God.
Yeah. We have Portugal, period, the man. Leon Bridges, Gary Clark Jr., Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. Okay. David Crosby and Friends, Dawes, Margot Price, Nako and Medicine for the People, a name I haven't heard in a while, India RE.
Ooh!
Yeah, Jade Bird, Country Joe McDonald, Rival Sons, Emily King, Soccer Mommy, that's a weird name, okay.
I think we talked about them once before. I think they collabed with Health.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Sir, Taylor Bennett, Amy Helm, Courtney Hadwin, Pearl, John Roberts. That's with a dash between the two names. IMDDB, all one word. And more. This feels very underwhelming. Probably to avoid the same things that happened on the Saturday of Woodstock 99. You know? Second day, everybody's hot and sweaty and hungry and thirsty and they just want to burn everything down. Maybe this is intentional, but... Yikes, this feels kind of bleh.
Yeah... Yeah. So that just leaves Mr. Mark to cover Sunday, August 18th.
Okay. Sunday. On day three, you have the Jigga Man himself, Jay-Z, and there's the Imagine Dragons. Okay.
Oh, fuck you.
And, hell. And this Halsey. Okay. It's Casey Elephant. Brandi Carlile. I heard her name before.
Mm-hmm. She's okay.
Hey, Janelle Monáe.
Hey.
Janelle Monáe.
Woo.
Young the Giant. Courtney Barnett. Okay.
Interesting.
Common, all right? Vince Staples.
Woo!
Judah and the Lion. Okay. Right. Earl Sweatshirt.
Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Boy Genius said, no, he's not Jimmy Neutron for some reason. Right? You got Rain Wolf.
Oh, I think I've seen that anime.
All right. Oh, the zombies! Oh yeah! I remember them. They have that one song, the song that I probably use for a thing I usually do on my site. What's it called? I don't know something. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, Can Heat, Hot Tuna, Pussy Riot, Cherry Glazier.
You.
Levin Khalid. The Khalid. Damn. If I say the. That person. The Marcus King Band, which is not me. Victory. Hollis Brown. John Craigie. Craig. Amigo the Devil. Liz Brasher. Ed Moore.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
this so, is. Like,
well, sorry, you got go some good. You got some good spots to spite. Well, get that. But.
Yeah. So Woodstock 50. It's definitely a modern Woodstock. There are some notes I'd like to make in here from this variety piece. Of the bands from the original Woodstock Festival in 69, the ones who are coming back for this one are Santana, John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival, John Sebastian, David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Melanie, Country Joe McDonald, and Canned Heat. Of all these, Santana gets top billing because, well, he's Carlos Santana. He's a legend. And indeed. When this was announced at a press conference, a man by the name of, let me see if I can find it. I believe it's, yes, Michael Lang. He had this to say. It's kind of spooky how similar things are now, the parallels between the climates of 69 and 2019, citing, quote, racial division, climate problems, women's issues, and another asshole in the White House. The more things change, the more things stay the same, huh? Except for some reason, people want to defend this asshole.
And apparently, Led Zeppelin is still popular.
Well, yeah, but just in a different, less interesting form for some reason.
Clearly. So, yeah, this is your Woodstock, which I'm sure will be on pace to be the least memorable Woodstock in the history of Woodstocks. Yeah. I mean, not unless everyone fucking goes naked and moshes during Portugal the Man or something.
Or, you know, somebody decides to start a mud fight with the crowd. But I believe Trent Reznor is not going to be anywhere close to Watkins Glen, New York that weekend.
Yes, quite.
Yeah. Tickets go on sale on the 22nd, so we'll report on you how much they're going to charge for this festival of peace, love, and harmony.
And any expansions to the lineup as well, because we have to know who the And Moores are.
Yeah, obviously.
So, yeah, we leave that behind for now, as we are now done with the official news topics, and we got one last bit of business to take care of here, and that's the new album releases for March 29th, 2019. Starting right up at the top, we have the latest album from Whitechapel with The Valley. We have the latest full-length album from Quelle Chris with Guns. We got a new project from country rapper Yellow Wolf with Trunk Music 3. We have a new Lost album coming out from the late Marvin Gaye with You're the Man. We have the debut album from Billie Eilish with When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? And last but certainly not least, the much anticipated new studio album from Devin Townsend with Empath. And now it's time to clean house and get the fuck out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where you can find me talking about random shit and college basketball. And maybe pro basketball. I'm in a very big basketball kick right now, as you can tell.
Yes, he's big on balls. What, nothing?
I'm pinching the bridge of my nose from that terrible joke.
Hey, just for the record, you opened yourself up for that one. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Who do you find on Twitter at MacTabMedia, where I basically just spill my anxiety and cat photos? Because, look, that makes right. Also, on my site, the Mind Hyper One, at thehyperone.com, expect a review of Megalobox to come, I'm guessing, by the time you do watch, you listen to this. And also look forward to Time of the Seasons, winter recap, where I tell what anime I like this season, what I found, you know, to be ass.
Yep. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me Robert at SurrealResolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're notified when stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealReso, like us on Facebook, visit the official website, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles and podcasts and all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat as well if you ever want to debate fast food rankings and whether or not olives are trash. They are trash, Corey. And last but not least, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for listening this week. We will, of course, see you again next week, as we do. And until next time, be sure to catch this podcast at its new official home, PlayStation VR. Hold the head steady, I'ma milk the cow. Forget about game, I'ma spit the truth. I won't stop till I get them in their birthday suits. So give me the rhythm and it'll be off with their clothes.